If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to start there, and then I'm going to take you to one of the Gospels in a moment. Hebrews, chapter number 11. I'm going to read one verse there, say just a word or two, and then get to the heart of the sermon. Hebrews, chapter 11, notice verse 6. You're familiar with this chapter. It is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. You have listed there are many of the believers from the past whose faith was exemplified in such a way that they are a pattern for us to follow. The heroines of the Bible, sometimes called, are listed in Hebrews chapter 6. Some are men, some are women. But the important thing is that they had faith. Notice Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." You can't please God without faith, because that's salvation can't even happen without faith. "Whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So we come in the front door with faith, and so we live by faith. The just shall live by their faith. So without faith, God cannot be pleased with us. Then he says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Amplified text says, "must believe that he actually does exist." If you're going to talk to God, you need to believe that he is indeed God. And then he says, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You must have faith to please God. You must believe that God is who he says he is. And then in so believing, you are to believe that he does reward those people who persistently or diligently seek him. You know, years ago, we used to do something at Grace and other places where I pastored. On Mother's Day, we would give out awards. These awards varied. We would give a token of expression, appreciation. I think it was a flower, maybe, for the oldest mother. I almost said the oldest mother living. We'd have to give it to Eve if it wasn't. So it's the oldest mother in attendance. And then we would give one to the mother with the most children living, I think. And then one to the mother with the most children present. And then one to the youngest mother. Some didn't like that youngest mother thing, but I always thought it was an appreciation in the culture in which we live that the young mother chose to keep the child rather than do what so many have done for so many years. But be that as it may, we had those kind of expressions on a typical Mother's Day. And then when I first came here, I learned that there was another thing that was that took place. It was the Mother of the Year Award. And this was given by whoever Donna Duncan said deserved it. If you don't know Donna, then it's not funny. If you do, you know it is. Well, we haven't done that in a while, and we're not going to do that today. But I did think about mothers and the kind of awards that really are special. You know, any award that a man gives you, mankind gives you, it's temporary. It tarnishes quickly, and it's soon forgotten. But when God gives you an award for something special, then that award is accredited to you throughout eternity. And so we should all pursue those heavenly trophies, those divine awards. Now, I want to ask you, what kind of award, moms, would you like to get from God? What about the Great Faith Award? In other words, if Jesus was to decide that you have lived such a life that you are deserving of the Great Is Thy Faith Award, could you imagine that being given and presented to you by Jesus himself? Think about how that kind of faith would help a person. I mean, we wouldn't worry so much if we had that kind of faith. We'd live with a greater hope. We wouldn't just exist, but we would live with power and unction. Our prayers would have power. And we'd have fruit to show for our efforts. This morning, suppose there was a great faith award. Who are the nominees? Since it's Mother's Day, we'll look toward mothers. Well, what about Sarah? You know, Sarah, according to Peter, is something of a spiritual mother to all of you moms. The Bible said you are her daughters if you continue the kind of life she lived. So she's something of the mother of those who believe. You know, Abraham is the father of all who believe. So Sarah, you could rightfully say, would be the mother of those who believe. What about Naomi? She was both a mother and a mother-in-law, but she was loved so much by her daughter-in-law that she chose to leave the land that she loved and cleave, of course, to her mother-in-law. What about Jochebed? She's Moses' mother. What great faith she displayed when the Pharaoh had decided to kill all the baby boys. And she had this beautiful baby boy named Moses. And she could not bear to see him killed. So you know the story. She puts him in the little ark and he floats down the stream, the River Nile. And she's rewarded in time for her faith. Well, you may say, Frank, the award obviously goes to Mary, the mother of our Lord. I mean, think about her. She's chosen by God to be highly favored above all women, and that is true. And she knew when she became the mother of our Savior that she would endure a lot of indignities. People would talk behind her back, and they would accuse her of sinful activity because she did not know a man. And then, of course, her sister Elizabeth, you may put her on the list. She was the mother of John the Baptist. All these people would be good nominees, but that's not who Jesus chose to get the great faith award. It might surprise you. He chose a mother whose name we do not know, who had no fame and had no real claim to such an award. But Jesus did what only Jesus can do. Her story is told in Matthew 15, seven verses, verses 21 through 28. Follow along as we look at her this morning. The word of our Lord says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, you have just received the great is thy faith award. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you bow just for a moment as we ask the Lord to help us as we look at this important text? Gracious Father, again, I want to thank you for every mother here. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say that might comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them in their faith as they raise and tutor their children. I pray, God, for a special blessing to each heart that only you can give. Now help me now, Lord, as I look into your word. Help me to say only those things that please you and Certainly, Lord, nothing that is not within the safe boundaries of your word. And we'll praise you for whatever accomplishments. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, I want to look at this mother. Three different little points. Not a long sermon, but I hope it'll be a helpful one. First of all, consider her place. Her place. She is, as the text says in verse 21 and 22, she's from Tyre and Sidon. She's a woman of Canaan. Now, this is an obstacle within itself. First of all, the entire ministry of Jesus took place in the territory of the Jews. He did not venture outside that territory. Now, sometimes Gentiles would come to him, but he didn't go to them, except in this one case. So the fact that she is from the coast of Tyre and Sidon is a problem, but it's not a problem so much that cannot be solved by our Lord. So Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. It's the only time he left the area is when he went here. And when he gets there, there is a woman of Canaan who's from the same coast. So her place in terms of her country seems to be an issue. But now the fact that she is a woman, that's also makes life a little more difficult for her in terms of having access to Christ. She's a Gentile woman to boot. Now, you remember how Jesus was at the well, and he met the Samaritan woman. And she was startled and almost in unbelief that he's a Jew, she's a woman, and a Samaritan, and they are having a conversation. But this is even different. Jesus now ventures into a Gentile region, comes across a woman who is a Canaanite. Mark calls her a Syrophoenician woman. Today we know it as Lebanon. And she's got a problem. So she's a woman. Now, women, they didn't speak to Jewish men in public. But it doesn't seem to bother her. And so she comes and she talks to Jesus. As I said, she's a Canaanite, and that's even more of a problem because they are really, they were being threatened with extermination. They were absolute enemies of Israel. And so her place is a disadvantage, to say the very least. It's not a place where Jesus typically went to. Then he finds a woman, a Gentile, from a nation who is under a curse and would be eventually extinguished. And so that's a difficult situation. I don't know what your place is this morning or what you carry in your life, but I doubt it is as dire as this situation. Someone has said that to have great faith, we've got to overcome three problems. When a first person first gets saved, the first problem they have to overcome is their self. A lot of times, people who have been saved out of a life of sin, they're ashamed of that life. And so when they think about the life that they lived, it's difficult for them to testify for Christ or whatever because they still feel a measure of shame for the life that they've lived. And then they're aware that they're certainly not perfect now. So you have to overcome self in your journey toward great faith. The second thing you have to overcome is other people, because it's difficult to find the kind of examples sometimes you need to build strong on your faith. Sometimes people are hurt more in church than they were out in the world. They're surprised when they find out that the church is not always a place to be loved. Sometimes they feel rejected or wounded or put upon by others who claim to be the followers of Christ. And so there's that overcoming of self, and then there's an overcoming of other people. But the writer said that there's also that problem we have with God. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, that's kind of made me shudder. A problem with God? He went on to explain the life of Abraham. He said, you think about Abraham. He says, all right, Abram said, get out of the country to a place I'm going to show you. And he left. He didn't seem to have a big problem with doing that. He just leave and he left, as the scripture tells us. And then, later on in life, he has a problem with other people. His own wife could not conceive, and this promised seed that was soon to come. And so he tried to work that in himself. You know the story, when there's Hagar and all this, and that doesn't work. And then eventually, God opens the womb of Sarah, and they have little Isaac. But he had to overcome the problem of other people, because now he's got Hagar to deal with, and he's got Ishmael to deal with, and he's got a wife who's not pleased with either one of them being around after Isaac is born. But then one day when Isaac is, I'm not sure how old, I've read different things, we'll just say at some point, he says, take your only son to the mountain and kill him. Take Isaac, put him on the altar, and kill him. Now, that's a problem. And you might even question, could God really be saying that to me? You ever have a problem with God in this way, in that when you just can't imagine that this is really God telling you to do this? But he had great faith. He lays his son Isaac on the altar, and you know the story. He says to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. Here's this woman in the New Testament, a Gentile, a Canaanite, Syrophoenician. She has no claim to the promises of God. And yet, she comes to Christ. Her place is something of a problem. But she has more problems than that. Notice, secondly, not only her place, but let's expand a little on her problems. First of all, there's her daughter. Now, I have two children. Three, if you count Ryder. I will count Ryder. But, you know, I learned quickly that, and young ladies, please don't be offended at me. I'm talking from experience here. In many ways, it was easier for me with a son than it was for a little girl. I used to threaten Seth and tell Seth, I said, look, you get upstairs, you clean that room. If you don't do it, you know, and I had all of these threats I won't mention from the pulpit. Well, he'd go upstairs and he'd throw stuff around, he'd clean it up, and he'd come bopping down the steps, you know, a few minutes later, and we wouldn't think much about it. I said, Jana, you get in there, you clean your room, you do this, same kind of thing. 3 days later, we'd be riding on the way to school. I said, what's wrong with you? You didn't have to talk to me that way. When? The other day. What day? When you told me to clean my room. They just seem to hold on to things a little longer than guys do. You may have learned that about your wife as well. Kind of temperamental, you know. She's got a daughter. And I tell you, and I love my daughter. But I was watching this thing, you know, all this stuff going on at these universities. And this young little girl, I said little girl, she's college, but she's standing there. And she said, today's my birthday, and I am cold and freezing. I'm out here protesting. I want to say, go get you some cake and ice cream. Go home to your mama, honey. I mean, what is your problem? But she did. She just carried on about all. She's so cold and she's shaking. She needed help and all this. And she's protesting the Hamas and Israel war. And I thought to myself, you know, can I tell you, if it's just between us, what I really thought to myself? Y'all ain't going to say nothing to nobody, are you? I thought, you whiny little snot. But I know that's not spiritual, so I got that out of my head real quick. But then I had this other thought. That's somebody's little girl standing out there. Somebody's paid $90,000 for her to get her little tail in that schoolhouse. And she's standing out there carrying on like that. This mother's problem with their daughter was a lot worse than that. She had a demon. She had a demon. I'm going to tell you, you know, in Bible days, kind of, Jesus ran across those things often. I think the great falling away that we're experiencing in our country and around the world, I think we're going to see a heightened movement of the things that the devil can do to destroy people's lives. I really mean that. With the easy access to pornography, to drugs, alcohol. Demons enslave. Demons are all about addictions. You may cuss the drug that person's on, but I always think about the demon behind the drug. And it's a terrible thing to see a child slaved to sin. That's more than just the depravity of man. There's a demon most likely involved. This girl is being vexed. She's being grieved over and over with this demon. Think about it, moms. We have, as I said, wonderful moms. Would that not be one of the most difficult things for you ever have to watch, is to see your child being enslaved and dominated by a demon? Everything that you taught them doesn't seem to matter. They have their way of thinking about most everything. And it's against all that you've held dear. There's a demon vexing the daughter. The third problem is the disciples. Now, when she does get to Jesus, and she'd obviously heard about him, and I'll mention that in just a moment, but there he is. There's the Nazarene. There's the one who taught by the shores of Galilee. He went to the tombs of the Gadarian, and he delivered the demoniac, and he healed the Roman centurion's child. And so he's helped Gentiles before. She couldn't wait to get there. But when she got there, the disciples found her a nuisance. They said something that I remember reading a Spurgeon sermon years ago, and I've never forgotten it. When she makes the statement, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Spurgeon said they're certainly flattering themselves, aren't they? She wasn't crying after them. She didn't give two hallelujahs about them. She was crying after Christ. But they were standing in her way. How many times have people, as I said earlier, they've come to church only to be disappointed by the disciples? Perhaps me at times. Perhaps it's you at times. We've all heard people say, "I'm not going back to that church anymore because of so-and-so in that church did so-and-so," and all this kind of stuff. You know, when we are disciples of Christ, when we are followers of the Lord, we should remind ourselves that our job is to imitate him. We are to be imitators of Christ. And so here the disciples say, "Send her away." Now, most believe that they didn't deny her help. In other words, just go ahead and fix her kid. I know you're going to anyway, but she is really on our nerves because this woman is not going to stop. They can tell. And so the disciples have their hand in her problems. And then a third thing, fourth thing, she's denied. Jesus ignored her. The Bible said that he answered her not a word. Can you imagine? I can't picture Jesus that way. Jesus was a gentleman. Jesus was filled with compassion. You know, the Bible even refers to God in Isaiah 66 and verse 13. He said, "God loves us like a mother." That's right. We talk about a mother's love. He says God's love is like a mother. He says, I've had compassion on you the way a mother has compassion on her children. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone those that I've sent you, and I've gathered you together the way a hen would gather little chicks under her brood. Paul in Thessalonians told the Thessalonian church in chapter 2, we haven't gotten there yet, but he said to them, he said, I've nurtured you and cared for you. He gives the imagery of the way a mother loves and takes care of, because on earth there's no greater example. And here's a mother coming to Christ, and he ignores her. He answered her not a word. My daughter, the demons have got her. Then she hears the disciples and their overtones of, get rid of this woman. Jesus says nothing to her, but he does speak to the disciples. When they say, send her away, she cries after us. Jesus is going to speak. He's not directing this to the woman. He directs it to the disciples, and he mentions a dispensational problem. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. What do you want me to do with her? Now, he's right. That was his chief mission as Messiah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. As I just quoted, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you've killed the prophets, you've stoned those that I've sent you. He came to, Mark says this, he says, he tells them, the children must first be fed. He's talking about the Jews. And so she overhears this statement Jesus makes to the disciples about his main mission at this time. He's come to the lost sheep of Israel. I thank God we have John 17 that says he's got other sheep that are not of that fold. But right now it looks bleak. It looks difficult for this woman. But now she's going to speak up and direct to Jesus. He just said, I've come to a lost sheep of Israel. And she's going to make a prayer now. Her problems, I've shown you. But she makes a prayer. She shows she's a true believer. Watch this. When she began, she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She is acknowledging that he's the Messiah. That is a messianic title. When she says, you're son of David, she's ascribing him as, yes, you are the Messiah. She believed that more than many of the Jews did believe. And she's praying for mercy. Then she shows she's a diligent seeker. And Romans 6 says she's going to be rewarded. But he answered and said, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and did this. She worshiped him. Can you worship Christ when he's apparently denying you? Can you worship him when he's answering you not a single word? Can you keep on praising him when he apparently turns a deaf ear to your prayers? She did. She's been called a dog, or will be. Then came she and worshiped him. Now, this prayer right here, sometimes you don't know what to pray. I'm going to help you this morning. Now, I bet you moms have prayed it millions of times. But here's a great prayer. Lord, help me. You can pray it when you get up in the morning. Lord, help me. Pray it when you go to bed at night. Lord, help me. When you go to the doctor's office, Lord, help me. Just a few moments ago, I bowed my head and said, Lord, help me. You don't always have to pray a long prayer. Someone said, Spurgeon said, I don't pray long, but I don't go long without praying. You can pray, Lord, help me. And she worshiped him. This came from her heart. Now what happens? But he answered. Now he's going to talk to her. And most of us would rather get a denial than to have this kind of statement said to us. But he answered her and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, the Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs. They had no part with them. There was great racial hatred, as you know. But the word that Jesus uses here for dogs is not those scavengers, not those wild dogs. My son-in-law was telling me about how dangerous these wild dogs can be. You hunters know about that. And they can hurt you. They can even kill you at times. It's not the wild scavengers, predators. It is a diminutive word. It speaks of little dogs. And what she's saying is, now, Lord, I don't want to get the children's bread. I understand the children get the bread first. But have you ever seen in those little Jewish homes, those little pet dogs that are around the table, and when the children, their crumbs fall down there around the table, the dogs come and eat them up, eat those crumbs up? I'm not denying what I am. I know that my place, I'm a Canaanite, I'm a woman, I have no real claim, I have no fame, my name has not even been mentioned. But I'm under the table, Lord, and I'm not trying to take a thing away from your children. You have spoken the truth, but you know dogs eat those crumbs fall from their master's table. Now, before I get to the thing that'll make you want to shout, I've thought about this over the years. What was her daughter's problem? She was vexed with the devil. But what did this Syrophoenician woman believe she needed? Just a crumb of his power. This is the big bad wolf. But with you, Lord, just a crumb from your hand will be everything my daughter needs. And Jesus said, lady, you just win the great faith award. Notice the text. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The great faith award. It goes to a woman whose name we don't know. She has no fame, and in many ways, no real claim. Let me ask you something. If Jesus were here today, and he had some awards, and he understands it's Mother's Day, and so he decided he was going to call out the awards that would suit whatever the situation. He says, okay, the Golden Ulcer Award goes to the mother who worries the most about her children. Anybody here could claim that award? What about the Worrywart Award? What about the award that believes that you don't have to get your children in church? It's not important. You get the Defiant Award. What if your faith could grow to a place where it was called great faith? You've got good faith. But how do you close the gap from good to great? Well, same way you build muscles. You build muscles by pushing away resistance. The more resistance you push off of you, the greater your muscles get. Satan does a lot to resist you, Mom. I understand that. But you keep on pushing that away and keep on praying that, Lord, help me prayer. You keep on taking that child to Jesus and believing that he can. Just a crumb from his hand is all your daughter or your son really needs. And despite the opposition, despite the delays, despite the denials, despite whatever is taking place in the circumstances that surround you, you keep on doing that. He is a rewarder to those who persistently seek Him. May God help us to work for that great faith award. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, the faith that you put in this Canaanite woman is available for each of us today. It's a growing kind of faith. It's not at all elementary, Lord. It is something that is matured and refined in the fires of life. It's a tested faith. It's a faith that endures hardships as a good soldier. It's a faith that only looks at Jesus. Doesn't look at circumstances, doesn't look at the disciples. It just looks at Jesus, believing that Jesus, just a crumb from his hand, is greater than any opposition Satan may throw against us. Increase our faith, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Will you stand as we sing?